And we affirm that apart from you, we have no good thing. That there is nothing better than being with you. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word, that you would help us to hear in whatever way you desire to make your truth known to us through your word, Lord. Speak, we are listening. Lord, we also bring before you cares from this past week. We lift up those whom we know who are struggling in whatever way, emotionally, financially, physically. Father, we thank you for Willie's successful procedure. We ask your healing hand for him and strength for him and Shirley to return. But Father, every need, emotional needs that have come through just struggles in our lives. Lord, every care, we cast our cares upon you because you care for us. So help us just to sit quietly with you, to hear you, to love you in return. In your name, amen. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles. Go ahead, please be seated. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 through verse 16. Luke 6, 12 through 16. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Let's just start with a couple of questions first. Why would you do that? Why would you spend all night praying to God? Think about it. We might just think of it as an act of desperation, like Asaph wrote about in Psalm 77:2, all night long I prayed with hands lifted toward heaven. Yes, that is a scriptural way to pray. But my soul was not comforted. That's Psalm 77:2. See how honest scripture is? This is early in Jesus' ministry, though. Some time before he goes to the cross, he's really just getting started. He's just choosing the apostles. I mean, and that's what we see here. Jesus is about to make a world-changing decision of all of the people who were following him, and there may have been hundreds at that time. 12. He's going to pick out 12. And to do that, he needs to hear from God. Now, he had disciples who followed him, you know, throughout his ministry, but the apostles, these would be the ones who would be closest to him. And, you know, just think about this for a moment. And you had all kinds of people coming to Jesus with their needs continually. What would that be like? How busy would you or I be under those circumstances? Oh, my goodness. I mean, think about the pressure, right? So Jesus has to get out his day planner and he has to start taking notes. Or no, that's old school. He's got, where's my cell phone? What does he do? He shuts everything down. And he gets alone with God. And this raises a question. Do we, you and I, Pastor... Yes, he's talking to himself. do we seek God's wisdom by praying first, especially when we are busy and have a lot to do? Do we take time for extended prayer so that our spirits are united with Him, so that when we move into that season, we know we're in step with His Spirit? I know how we can answer that in the negative, and we can be hard on ourselves. That's not where I'm wanting to go here. I'm just looking at Jesus and saying, I got to follow there. You know? Do we fast and pray sometimes? I mean, fasting, you know, it doesn't have to be this long, drawn-out thing. We always hear that super spiritual person who said, well, I fasted for 40 days. I don't know. Whenever someone tells you that, it's kind of like they counteracted the whole effect of what they were doing. Because Jesus said not to do your acts of righteousness before others. Fasting is a quiet thing. It's a thing between you and God. And if you really want to hear from Him and really want an answer to your prayers, you don't have to go shouting about it, you know. But Jesus is our example in everything. So again, how can we learn from Him? Why would He do this? I think Mark shows us another example. Mark tells about the same incident in Mark 3, 13 through 15. Let's go there for a moment. Mark 3, 13 through 15. Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to Him those He wanted. They came to Him. He appointed 12 that they might be with Him and that He might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. So we know from Luke that Jesus prayed first. And Mark tells us why He appointed the apostles to preach and to drive out demons. Don't doubt that that is real. But the point is, this is strategic, spiritual, impactful work. And if you ever come up against something like that, you need to be prayed up. And the apostles and Jesus came up against it all the time. So Jesus is here praying all night, trying to make the right decision, praying for those whom will be close to the Lord, moving in His Spirit, moving in His power. What else about them? What does Mark point out? Because I think something else Mark points out also shows us why Jesus did what He did. Anybody see? We've talked about this before. The most simple definition of prayer. Anybody? Why? What's the first reason Mark gives for Jesus choosing the disciples, the apostles? That they might be with Him. Don't miss that, please, because so much of what it really means to pray is encapsulated in that one little word, be. That's what Jesus is doing. That's why He's spending the entire night so that he can just be with the Father, be in his presence. And you and I know in those moments where we have genuinely sensed God's presence, oh, there is no better place to be. There's nowhere that we'd rather be than there. So I think that's really the why of what's going on here. It shows you why Jesus did what he did. He had to be with the Father. Because when you and I really are with the Father, so much falls into place, right? I mean, life is hard. It is so much harder without God. Where do we go? What do we do? How else do we find the healing and help for our souls, the direction, the wisdom, the peace that we need? The beauty of his Spirit in a world that is just, you know, cats in a bag. Just being with him is everything. This isn't about an experience of God. As important as that is, as good as that is, it goes deeper than that. This is about our very raison d'etre, the very reason we exist is to be with him. You see that in Genesis. They're walking in the garden, right? God later is walking in the garden after Adam and Eve had sinned. Where are you? Well, I hid because I was naked. Well, how'd you know you were naked? Okay, ate of the fruit tree, right. But why does God miss him to begin with? Why does God say, you know, where are you? What's behind that? The implication is God had been with him before, was used to his presence. Adam had been with him. Eve had been with him. And God missed them. Think about that. Where are you? Where are you? I mean, you know, Adam is naming the animals. That had to be a sweet time. It's like, what is this? You know, I mean, there's this just being. So there's the why question, but here comes the next one about praying all night. And these are kind of tied in together. The how. How might we do this? Just, again, be with the Father. First, just by his actions, I think Jesus is showing us that prayer is so much more than talking. He spent the night praying to God. Do you think he was talking all night? how could he know whom to choose if he's not listening at times as well? This isn't a matter of a lot of words. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:7, right? Don't go on babbling like the pagans do, he says in Matthew 6:7, who think they will be heard because of their many words. I think what we're coming back to again is this whole notion of just being. In other words, when you are with someone, there are relational dynamics involved. You're looking at them. You're listening to them. you're reading? You know, I mean, so much of communication is nonverbal, right? Probably most of it. And so I think that's a big part of again, just this is more than just words. Now, there are plenty of examples in Israel's history of their not inquiring of the Lord and things ending badly for them. So I think, again, that's part of the why Jesus is doing it. But you also, in what he's doing, you see the how of it. Where does he go? He goes out to a mountainside. He goes out to a quiet place. This is one of the reasons why we have a prayer path and a prayer garden. And Skip and Mark have put so much wonderful work in our prayer garden recently. Go spend some time there. But the reason why we do this is because you can't be Peace Church and put in a sea of concrete, right? I mean, this is one of the reasons why we planted 100 azaleas and you know have dogwoods and purple plums and Yoshino cherries and other things, because God speaks to us in so many ways. And I think when we think about the how of it, you and I again need to think about, okay, where do I sense God's presence? Where does he speak to me? If I'm looking at spending time with him, can I go there? What Jesus is showing us is that we have to stop being so busy and set our agendas aside and just love him. It is the emotional equivalent of taking our cell phone and turning it off and putting it away because I really want to hear what you have to say. No, I can't do that. I'm sorry. Right? I mean, it's just, we've got to fight that busyness. And if we do, if we just be with him, God will meet us. He will lead us. Jesus promised this very thing. I'm with you always. Has he not said, God's word says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I like what Ben Patterson wrote about this when commenting on our passage. He said, Jesus probably spent the night doing the kind of thing David asked the Lord to let him do forever in Psalm 27:4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. It's interesting, David writes about seeking him in his temple when the temple hasn't been built yet. What does that mean? Well, I believe in all likelihood that's an upward glance, just as the tabernacle was a representation of the tabernacle in heaven, Scripture tells us. David is just, somehow he has learned how to gaze on God. And what is that like? I think there's part of us that innately understands this. Innately in the sense that the Holy Spirit helps us in this. I want to keep reading from Patterson. He says, since God knows what we need before we ask, prayer is more about communion than communication. Jesus knew that, and therefore knew that what he needed most in order to make good decisions was not information, but was a refreshed fellowship with his Father. His night was spent doing all the things that genuine prayer is: asking and listening, inquiring and praising, thinking and thanking, meditating and singing, sitting in silence and speaking forth. Probably more. We can do this. Not that I'm saying, oh, well, go out and spend all night. There may be time where you're called to do that. But just to take the time. Because time spent with God is never wasted. Well, how do I do that when I'm so busy? How can we not? Because otherwise, are we not consumed? You know? By our own schedules. and the news that bombards us constantly. And Jesus' example in this, getting away to a quiet place. Come walk the prayer path. Sit in the prayer garden. Or just whatever ways he speaks to you. It may be music. Of course, reading his word. Reading a good devotional book. Again, for the purpose, the main purpose is just being with him, being with him. God meets us in these places, and as he does, it's just natural. He helps us to love him more. So let's go to him now with that intent, shall we? Abba, we need your help with this, and we thank you that you really want to. We thank you that you love us so much that you really want to spend time with us, that's precious to you, that you keep our prayers before you in golden bowls, Revelation 5:8. Lord, thank you that you made us to walk with you, to be with you. And together by faith, again, we affirm there is nothing better than that. And so we just ask your help so that we can take what you have shared with us, your love, your light, your goodness, your beauty, your truth, And share it with others in ways that we will then see your light and beauty and truth shining through their eyes. We want to bear fruit for you like that. Father, help us in this. Most of all, we just need you. We need to be close to you. So show us what that looks like this week. Please don't let Monday be different from Sunday in this. Show us in the middle of Monday or any other. Just how to be with you. Thank you, Lord, that you look forward to that time with us. Help us to look forward to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.